Hi, my name is Mira Patasin. I'm an author and I'm an activist, and GoFundMe is my go-to platform for fundraising. The first GoFundMe I did was to raise money for a chapbook or a collection of poetry and essays and short stories. So we started a GoFundMe and our goal was $7,000. What I've learned is so special about GoFundMe is that it's a whole collection of people offering anything from like $4 to $400. And each time you get a ping that someone donated, even if it is just $4, it's so exciting. So if you have a goal and you get there, you can keep making it bigger and bigger and bigger. We did go past our goal. It was amazing.
GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
The Quiet Hour. This story takes place in a time before we knew how to document history, in a kingdom long forgotten. They say memory lived in voices then, not in ink. Laws were sung at the market and cradled into children's ears at night. The kingdom sat between two gentle rivers, with hills like sleeping lions and orchards that remembered sweeter years. In the palace at the hill's crown, a prince named Orion kept two habits that made the servants whisper he was either foolish or blessed. He rose before dawn to walk the kitchens, and he listened longer than anyone had patience for. He did not expect to become king. An older brother had been groomed for status and trumpets. Orion had been groomed for company. He would sit with a blacksmith's widow until her shoulders loosened, or make a child share his stolen figs without a scold. But seasons are tricksters. A fever took the old king in a week of red sunsets, and the heir, brave as a horse, brittle as glass, fell in a hunting accident the morning after the funeral. The court staggered. The steward bowed. Orion stood very still and felt the crown arrive like weather. His first night on the throne, he did not call council. He sat in the dark with a single lamp and asked the room a question no one had been asked in years. What would make us kinder? A king cannot eat questions for breakfast, so at dawn he went walking. He walked past the guards, who cleared their throats to remind him he was precious now, past the courtyard where noblemen practiced polite cruelty with words, down the road that split the city's heart into two friendly halves. He listened. He learned that the baker's flour was thinning, that a midwife wanted clean linens more than praise, that a mason could mend anything except his own loneliness since his wife's passing. He returned to the palace at noon, and made three small decrees, which looked like nothing beside the tall ones collecting dust in the hall. First, he said every household must name one small kindness each week and place it on the common table at the market. Bread, a mended bowl, an afternoon of help. Second, he lowered the palace gates each evening so travelers could camp beneath its walls in safety. He had ordered kettles to sing at sunset. Third, he asked for quiet. Quiet? The steward repeated, baffled. At dusk, Orion said, 1 hour when the city softens its voice so we can hear what we've forgotten. The courtiers rolled their eyes with the confidence of people whose comfort has always arrived on time. But the quiet hour came. Birds defended the gap with their own music. A boy discovered you could hear the river talk to stones if everyone tried. A woman realized that she had mistaken for despair what was simply an exhausted mind asking to be fed. Slow is not the enemy of sure. Orion understood this because he had watched bread rise and grief ease. Both refused to be hurried. So prosperity returned like sunrise through fog, first as a rumor, then as a habit. He moved the throne from the high dais into the courtyard every seventh day, and called it the listening chair. People lined up with troubles and good ideas. He answered few questions himself. Mostly, he asked three. What do you need? What do you have? Who can help? Then he paired strangers until they stopped being strangers. He visited the river for practical reasons. water rights, ferry ropes, and for one hidden reason. It taught him how to lead. Rivers hold their shape while letting the world pass through. He learned to make decisions that were firm in direction and soft at the banks. When a drought pricked the land into meanness, he shared grain from the palace cellars first and ate what the city ate. When a merchant tried to hoard, Orion sent him to the baker for a week of rolling dough. The merchant's hands came back kinder. The old guard asked for monuments. Orion asked for benches. Seats, he said, make neighbors. He placed them along the roads at the distance of one story. The time it takes how to tell your day went, and mean it. He rebuilt the market roof so shade could be shared like a sacrament. He expanded the midwives' stores and wrote their names into the songs boys learned, right between the verses about brave archers and fast horses. He taught the court a new game. Every law must be spoken aloud in the square before it could be sung in the hall. If it couldn't survive the market's eyebrows, it did not deserve the ink. The kingdom changed because it had begun to hear itself. A widow paused at a bench and met the mason, and the next spring, laughter returned to a house that had been quiet too long. A child learned to count by shelving the market's kindness each week. An extra egg, a repaired sandal, a smooth river stone pressed into a neighbor's palm. Their way of saying they had carried your words home. The blacksmith's bell, once an alarm, became a communal chime. When it rang twice at dusk, it meant someone needed help moving, and hands arrived like geese over water. Of course, there were a few missteps. A neighboring lord tried to take advantage of Orion's gentleness and sent soldiers to measure the old border, as if land were a seam that wanted ripping. Orion did not fold. He did not bare his teeth either. He sent baskets, seeds, salt, soap, and a singer with a talent for telling true stories that make pride itch. The soldiers left less certain than they came, and a month later, the lord sent word that he wanted benches too. "Send him the pattern," Orion said, and the steward went off muttering about fools and miracles. Prosperity isn't only full barns. It is the day the midwife's hands don't shake because she knows there will be hot water and clean cloth. It is the night the captain of the guard sleeps and does not dream of doors he cannot defend because the palace gates are low and the city watches with him. It is a summer where the youngest children know three kinds of quiet, grieving, listening, and grateful, and can tell which one a neighbor needs. Orion married late, but not for treaty. He chose a woman named Ellen, who laughed at sunrise and sat through the listening hour like a mountain made of kindness. They had two children who learned to carry baskets without being asked and to say I was wrong without swallowing pride that had no business in a children's throat. When Orion's hair showed threads of moonlight, Ellen teased him by braiding three strands, patience, mercy, and courage. The plate that holds a kingdom, she said. He wore it, invisible, every day. In the end, not the end when stone forgets names, but the end that belongs to a single good life, Orion gathered the court and offered them the simple lesson he owned. Sing what you will in your halls, he said, but what matters will be sung, so live in a way that can be carried by breath. The singers remember him as the king who lowered gates and raised benches. The mothers remember him as the man who made the market a safe place to be tired. The masons remember him each time laughter is built back into the shape of a house. And you, love. Yes, you, with the bright, brave heart listening to this. Do you feel it? That hum under the words. The old knowing that you were meant for more than surviving lists and proving yourself to rooms that don't know how to listen. You carry Orion's plate inside you. Patience enough to move slowly. Mercy enough to make room. Courage enough to begin. You are not a bystander to your own life. You are the quiet architect of prosperity. The kind that starts in the kitchens and on benches. The kind that multiplies when shared. Our soul circle is your market roof, your shade at noon, your bell at dusk. If you're ready, I will walk with you. You belong with us, and we with you. This, beloved, is your season to be the light that makes the kingdom remember itself.